Oh, hey.
Okay. I don't know if this is from The Office or if I'm sleep deprived or someone said this to me in person.
I can tell but you I probably have, if it's from The Office.
I think it's from The Office, but I'm not sure. But, like, randomly, you know how when your brain is still, random things just pop in, and I'm so overtired right now that random things keep popping in.
Right.
But this thing keeps popping into my head, and it's like ABC. Always be closing, which is totally like a sales technique, but I've never worked in sales and I don't know.
Sorry, what?
I don't.
It's like, just remember ABC, always be closing. And I'm like, but closing, what? And why is that in my head?
Maybe I don't know.
Closing your eyes to go to sleep.
Yeah.
Maybe one of the 7 people listening can write in and tell me what that's from, because I guarantee when this episode comes out 6 weeks from now, I still won't know what the reference is. I guarantee it. Have I mentioned I'm tired?
Have mercy.
Have I mentioned that I did this research
a long
a while ago because I had some time to do the research and was so proud of myself for being so far ahead? Then I haven't looked at it since.
Well,
so it's a surprise to me and you that today we're doing the state of Arkansas.
I'll try.
I don't even remember what state.
No.
I'll try to listen for your cues this time.
I don't know what month it is or day. I haven't slept a lot. But unlike my last episode, we're only going to do one because there was enough, naturally, because it's me. It's written in the form of long-form narrative.
Oh,
so
well,
if you'd like to put your cozy slippers on, wrap yourself up in a blanket, get yourself a hot beverage. Let me tell you a story of the dog boy of Arkansas.
Oh, boy.
Do you know it?
No.
Oh, your face lit up like you knew it.
Well, because doing this research, a lot of the articles say, like,
like the main ones.
The main ones from
each
state.
Yeah. I've been trying not to look at y'all's because I want to be surprised.
I have two, but I always have to scroll one past yours because I'm always the next state.
Yeah,
so
sure.
I usually accidentally see what's going on.
No, that makes
right
sense.
Before mine.
Well, the only reason I remember this one, because I couldn't tell you yours. I have no idea what.
Yeah.
But the picture was very startling.
Yeah, it was kind of freaky.
I was just like, oh, God, what is that?
Oh, I don't like that.
I don't like that.
I don't like that.
Oh, dear.
Any predictions or thoughts about what you think the dog boy might be?
I don't at all. I'm not.
Yeah, I don't
I'm
think.
I'm curious.
My brain doesn't want to go to try to predict what that might mean.
So when I was assigned Arkansas, I got pretty excited because my best friend lived in Little Rock for like a year or 2 years or something.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, yeah.
And so I'm like, oh, yay, Megan. And then also we took one of our girls' trips to Eureka Springs. And that,
yes,
do you remember how many ghosts there were? Like there was that one
hotel
that had its own ghost tour.
The Crescent,
that someone died at.
That someone died at
the night
we were there.
Yeah, that was very creepy.
Creepy.
Super creepy.
And sad.
Also, so sad.
Well,
yeah.
And we took that group picture sitting at the bottom of the stairs.
Yeah, like an hour before it happened.
Yeah, and then like when we looked the next day, I was like,
I can't
ladies,
look at that picture the same.
That's where the body fell, was where we were sitting.
It's true. I think about that every time I look at that picture.
Every
I do
time.
Too, and it's such a good picture of all five of us.
It is good.
I have it set on my favorite, so it pops up occasionally on my watch as like a picture. On
it's
my
still
watch.
Up on my wall.
It's
so
good,
you're frequently reminded.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, hey.
There's a motorcycle in your
a
apartment.
A motorcycle. I was like, is there something growling?
There's
there?
A ghost. It's him.
It's the dog boy.
He's like, stop talking about me.
Neat. Okay. Why do you keep people locked up on the other side of your apartment?
Ah.
And then also I thought, like, do you remember we took the other ghost tour that was around the town of Eureka Springs? There was, like, the bank robbers that had, like, died in the middle of the street and, like, different. Do y'all remember that? Was I on that ghost tour by myself?
No. Was that Eureka Springs?
Yeah. We took two ghost tours. We took one around the town, and then the next night we're like, dude, we could do a separate one, like, just at that hotel.
No,
so
I
we
do
did.
Remember. That's right.
So I kind of expected, like, because Eureka Springs has, like, a long history, and, like, it was, like, an industry town, and then that hotel, I'm like, surely it's going to be one of those. But this is a very random, obscure little place in the middle of Arkansas.
Okay.
But it's the most famous urban legend. And again, like, we're not only doing ghost stories. Sometimes it is a ghost story, but this one is more of an urban legend.
Okay.
Still a ghost story.
I'm excited.
I'm glad
Me
I
too.
Spent 4 minutes explaining how it's not in Eureka Springs.
I'm sure our listeners will appreciate you.
That's okay. They've already tuned out.
No, they have not.
Okay. So in Arkansas.
I don't know.
They have. Let's be honest. They have. Our moms are still listening.
I'm listening, and I'm not tuned out.
Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Your captive audience right here in front of me. Okay, in Arkansas, there is a town called Quitman, which there is also in Texas, but this is in Arkansas.
I was going to say, that sounds familiar. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's very close to us. It's located in Cleburne County. This is a small place. The population in the 2010 census, not to be confused with the one that will happen later this year, was only 762. This small town is also exceptionally haunted.
Ah.
Yay.
Opposite reactions.
No one really knows why the little town attracts so many spirits, but some believe that restless spirits are attracted to the town's past. Mm. So until 1870, which is not really that recently ago,
all right.
Not really
that recently ago.
So tired.
We're going to go by the alphabet alphabetically.
So we're going to move through the alphabet alphabetically. Until 1870, Quitman was a major trading center, and it was an important crossroads for those either traveling from Memphis to Little Rock or from Batesville to Conway. I know you know where those places are.
Definitely.
Yeah, same. I'm always talking about how we should go to Conway.
Conway. Love Conway. So at the time, it was a big crossroads for these different ports and not ports, but like trading towns crossing through. And at the time, the town of Quitman had many big houses and many buildings. It's not really that close to any major cities. Little Rock is probably the closest, but it's not that close. And where it sits geographically, it's on the southeast edge of the Ozark National Forest.
Oh, okay.
So it's still pretty wilderness-y. Beautiful. There are many ghost stories from Quitman, but one house in particular attracts a lot of attention. In downtown Quitman, a Victorian home was erected in 1890 and was inhabited by a family known as the Jackson family. Benjamin Jackson lived there with his wife, who died when she was about 28 years old. I want to pause just for a moment and say that I referenced, I need to start citing my sources, and I didn't do that, but I looked at about four different articles to put this together, and at no point in any article is the wife mentioned by name. It's only
Benjamin
Jackson's wife, who was about 28 years old. Her whole life was drilled down to married to this man at this age. It made me so sad for her.
Oh,
I know. So that's complete tangent, but it made me so sad for her.
Again.
I mean, well, it's casual Tuesday. Tammy's riled up. So she was 28 years old when she passed away. They did have a son named Joseph, who was born in 1898 and went on to serve the country in World War I, where he passed away at the age of 21.
Oh.
It has been claimed the Jackson spirit did not leave the house. However, he's not the only ghost in this location.
Sorry, the son spirit?
The son, yes. Okay. Because it'll say later that it's someone in, like, army garb or war garb. And it's thought that the son who actually passed away serving the country overseas, spirit has come back to haunt the house. Yeah. But he is not the only ghost in this house.
Okay.
In the early 1950s, a new family... This is how you know that I was tired already doing these notes, because I wrote a new copy, not a new family, which is not has nothing to do with anything. A new family moved into the same large house, and the couple was named... Oh, it's supposed to say a new couple. A new couple, not a new copy. The couple was named Floyd and Aline Bettis.
Bettis.
For many years, they struggled to have children, but finally, in 1954, they had a child, one son, named Gerald Bettis. The man who would go on to be known as the dog boy.
All right, Gerald.
Mm. One-sided notes.
Yes.
Okay. Indeed. So now we're talking about Gerald. We've got the history of the house. We've got the history of town. We're talking about Gerald Bettis. From the beginning, he was known to be a difficult child.
Mm-hmm.
From firsthand experiences, because there are still residents left in the town who remember him, because this is from the 50s.
Yeah.
Firsthand experience, people who knew the family, they said that he developed an unusual habit of collecting stray cats and dogs.
Oh, no.
Which earned him the name Dog Boy.
Oh. Okay.
Keep in mind, he was a troubled youth. He was not keeping these sweet little puppies as pets.
It's never good when
it's not
young
good.
Boys are collecting.
No, it's not. No. Especially many of them.
Mm-hmm.
His parents were good people, but Gerald was a brat, vicious, and cruel, said local author and family acquaintance Mary Nell Hollibird. He would catch stray animals and torture them. We could hear them howl.
Oh, God.
I know.
That's disturbing.
I hate it.
Another longtime Quitman resident named Nelda Kennedy agreed with Hollibird and added that Bettis actually added on to the house, so there was additional room to keep even more animals. Yes, he was not a good person.
Though? You know that meme? That with the big fat face, yeah. You know, like, why though?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
But why?
He was a troubled youth. He had trouble in school. Kids liked to pick on him. They would pester him and take things away from him. And someone said it was almost like he enjoyed being aggravated because he could attract additional attention.
Mm.
So this is his youth. As he grew older, his actions turned more sinister.
They always do.
Yes. This is not... I clearly don't have a psychology degree, but you often, when you look at people that become well-known serial killers, their youth often looks right. this
tortured
way.
Tortured animals.
Torturing
yeah.
animals.
Like the first. An episode of Criminal Minds.
It kind of does.
You could write a book, or write a show.
Well, that's my next career.
Yeah, that's true.
So if you're listening and you would like to give me the opportunity to write a show, I am available at saltoveryourshoulder@gmail.com. Okay, so as his... So as Bettis grew older, his actions allegedly turned more sinister.
No.
He kept his parents virtually imprisoned in the upstairs part of the house. Mm. He would feed them, but he controlled their access to food so that they were utterly dependent on him.
I'm sorry. No. Why?
So animal abuse and then later elder abuse.
Why did...
Because okay. he was a troubled person.
So he's older and they're elderly at this point.
Yes.
Okay.
He was a big man. He stood approximately 6'4" and weighed almost 300 pounds.
Heavens.
He was a big man. It was regularly reported that he beat up his father and even once threw him out of a window.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
According to the Heber Springs Sun-Times, which is the longest name for a newspaper I've ever seen, Floyd Bettis, that's the father, died in 1981 after an illness at home. Though the common conversation around town... was that he was pushed down the stairs and died from a broken neck. That cannot be substantiated, but that's
right,
the conversation.
That's good grief.
Rumor.
That's the rumor. Whitman. So dad is dead now, 1981. Gerald was an intimidating neighbor. Nelda Kennedy, one of those people I mentioned before, reported that she was afraid of him and that his eyes seemed to glow at night.
Oh, yeah. Fine. Sure.
Yep. Yep. Gerald went to Kennedy's house once because he was angry that the Kennedys had trimmed a magnolia tree that overlapped into his backyard.
Hmm.
He yelled and threatened the neighbors to the point that they checked to make sure the guns that they kept had ammunition close by. I would like to point out, of course, like, this is a firsthand account of someone who did not mind talking to the press.
Right.
And that should be kept in mind as, like, this is one person's account. A little dramatic that someone came over when the tree was trimmed and they had to make sure they had ammunition. So I don't want to say that, like, he was absolutely the most horrid neighbor because we only have one person's account, but oh. It should be noted that someone felt intimidated by him. They found him to be an intimidating neighbor.
Right. I already kind of figured he was a horrible person when we started yes. with torturing animals.
Yes, so. Exactly. Right. Yeah, and I don't want to really... diminish that either. It just, I think it should just be mentioned that this is a firsthand account of a local who's still there, not a reported, mm-hmm. unbiased third party. Anyway.
Take it as you will.
Take it as you will, exactly. In the early 1980s, but after the death of her husband in 1981, Aline Bettis fell and broke her hip, which required a trip to the hospital. Mm. A retired nurse at the hospital witnessed Gerald slapping and abusing his mother.
Okay.
Threatening to have her arrested if she told anyone. Not long after this incident, Aline Bettis was placed in adult protective custody and completely removed from the Victorian mansion.
Thank goodness.
So, we don't have an exact year, only that it's the early 80s, but definitely after 1981 because her husband had already passed away. So, at this point now, Gerald is an adult, his father is dead, his mother has been removed into adult protective care, he's alone at the mansion. Mom later testified against her son, citing the abuse when Bettis was arrested in the mid-80s for selling marijuana that he grew himself in his sunroom. He was put into the prison system, where he died in 1988 okay. at age 34, as confirmed by the Arkansas Democrat Gazette.
All of these terrible things he's done, and he gets
he arrested got arrested for marijuana, and he died yeah. in the system. But the story continues.
Oh, no.
Oh, he's not done yet.
He's not done yet.
Oh, no.
Remember, this is about urban legends, not
yeah,
true crime.
Yeah, I was wondering. I was.
Yeah, you're
okay.
like, great story, Aaron. What's the point?
What's going on now?
So Bettis's mother passed away in, is this in 1955? I did some research wrong here. Because she testified against her son
in the
80s.
Yeah.
So I've got, I have a year written down.
Or 95? Let's guess.
Yeah, well, it says 55, but that math doesn't work. Yeah, right. No, so let's just erase that line, well, and we're just going to say. That's right. So when his ghost testified against, the ghost of the mom testified. Okay, so anyway, after his mother passed away, whatever year that was, I didn't record that correctly, a local Quitman woman named Reba Carter inherited the house. The family's all gone. Reba. This woman, I think she was a distant cousin. I remember reading that, but I didn't put the relation here. But she inherited this house. So she had an estate sale and sold off most of the Bettis items. Later on, she sold the house to a local truck driver named Tony Weaver, who lived in the Bettis house for a few years with his wife before they began to experience paranormal activity. Mm-hmm. So this
is shocked.
You're right. Remember, there was a ghost story already. Before the Bettis family even bought the house.
There was already
there was already reports. So after seeing an ad placed by the Central Arkansas Society for Paranormal Research, or CASPR, as they are sometimes known, Weaver's wife, again, apparently we don't name wives, only just their relation to men, Weaver's wife contacted the founder of CASPR, whose name is Karen Schillings. She's a professional woman, so she gets to have a name.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Just Reba and Karen.
Yeah, Reba and Karen. Okay, so Karen, this is a quote from Karen, so I'm just going to read it verbatim.
Okay.
She said she would turn off all the lights before leaving to work a night shift, but when she returned, the lights would be back on, Schilling said. At first, the woman thought such actions were the result of an intruder, but then more supernatural events began to happen. One time, pennies floated down the stairwell from the upstairs part of the house.
Sure. That's nice.
The coins stopped and fell to the floor all at once, right in front of her, Schilling said. After 6 months of such occurrences, the wife was very scared and didn't want to live there anymore. End quote.
Can't imagine why.
Right. So, here you go. Weaver also experienced strange incidents. One day, he was working in the house and saw a man looking through the foyer and into the living room. He looked like a World War I soldier, complete with helmet. He walked into the living room, but after Weaver followed, there was no one there. Weaver still owns the Bettis house today and continues to show the home to prospective buyers, but has had very little success. Weaver said one time he placed a new pair of sunglasses and some prescription medicine on a table. During the time he was there, he became angry about his inability to sell the house and voiced his resentment out loud, saying, "These darn spooks, I'm tired of taking care of this place."
Have mercy.
When he next noticed the sunglasses and the medicine were both gone, and he figured he had upset someone.
Oh, God.
Weaver says, if you bring someone into the house, the spirits that, if you bring someone into the house that the spirits don't like, you'll feel chills and your hair will stand on end. One woman who was interested in purchasing the home brought her young daughter with her. The woman told Weaver that her daughter was a sensitive. While the women were walking through the house, the daughter stopped on the stairs and said she felt very sad. Oh. Do you remember what happened on the stairs? Yeah. The beginning of the story?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
when
right? he broke his neck.
When the father potentially fell and broke his neck, right?
Mm-hmm.
So she said she felt sad. Another time, prospective buyers saw a recliner flip back on its own like someone was sitting in it, and it stayed stuck in that position the entire time that the clients were viewing the home. Still another couple brought their dog, who absolutely refused to go inside because remember what happened to animals in this home.
Right.
Sure. Right. So Weaver hired a contractor
Does that mean there's puppy ghosties in there?
I know. Yeah, no one's ever reported that, but that was my thought, too, doing this. It's like, you know, animals can sense things that people can't sense.
Mm-hmm.
So Weaver hired a contractor whose name was Ed Munnerlin to do work on the house, and this contractor has also reported eerie encounters. Ed preferred to do his work at night, since during the daytime... the house was often filled with people who were interested in the ghosts, so he couldn't get much work done, and he started doing his work at night.
That seems like a poor choice, too.
I thought the same thing, but he clearly is a braver man than I am. Also, I'm not a man.
What?
But you do have a name.
But I do have a name. That's right. Unlike the women in this story, I have a first name. Munnerlin, who's the contractor, expressed that the home makes him feel uncomfortable, like someone is watching him. So I think it's... makes complete sense that he's chosen to do this work at night if he clearly feels uncomfortable. Several times he's pulled into the driveway of the house at night and has seen a man looking down at him from a window. The man is dressed in a brown jacket and bow tie, like from another time period. Bettis has also seen in the house, particularly in the extension that he built to originally torture animals and later to grow pot. Bettis has also been seen in the house. So remember, because there were other spirits in the house before. Uh-huh. And so,
yeah, I was wondering when he was going to show back up.
Yes, sorry, I didn't articulate that very well. So this man dressed in a brown jacket and bow tie, in some of the stories that I read, people said that was Bettis, but Bettis died in the 80s. Like, that is not a different era. Like, that is our lifetime. Well, not yours, Amanda. Tammy's lifetime.
Accurate.
So they've assumed that it could be the father, the first family that lived there, the father. It could be the soldier who's just dressed differently. And then, like I said, some reports said that that himself was Bettis. But this man in a brown jacket and bow tie has been seen several times. Mm-hmm. I only mentioned it once in my notes, but in all the articles I read, he was mentioned.
Well, it makes sense that it might be the dad since he...
It could be the dad. And that would make sense time-wise. Right. Yeah. Oh, that's true. Right. Okay, so then Bettis, who is the dog boy, has also been seen in the house, particularly in the extension that he built to originally torture animals and later where he grew the pot that he sold that he got arrested for. Mm-hmm. Munnerlin, the contractor, described him as having long brown hair, creepy eyes, and great big arms and hands, which makes sense based on his earlier description. Mm-hmm. The specter walked right in front of Munnerlin, glared at him, and then walked through the hall and disappeared. In 2005, Casper investigated the house and founder Shillings was the lead researcher on the case. She said, "We went there on two different occasions. The first time we noticed cold spots 10 to 15 degrees cooler than the ambient temperature of the home. A very sensitive electromagnetic field detector was used that picks up all kinds of electromagnetic readings, and we picked up an energy force that had no explanation." The second time Casper went to the Bettis home, they brought and used a medium who said that she got in touch with what seemed to be the spirit of Gerald Bettis. Bettis's spirit cursed at them to leave the house.
Sure, he would.
Mm-hmm. Which sounds on brand.
Right.
The team, this was the most interesting part, in my opinion. The team used videotape to document other things that they considered to be additional evidence of paranormal activity, including, as we've seen before, orbs flying through the wall and unexplained flashing lights.
Okay.
Although footage of the ghost hunting expeditions was shot over two occasions, the more spectacular of the two tapes is missing. Multiple attempts to locate this film failed, and no rational explanation was available. Shillings describes the disappearance of this film as disconcerting. And that is the tale of the dog boy of Arkansas.
I have to say, that was not what I expected. No, I was going to think you were going to tell me about some shape-shifting dog.
Which is exactly human. What I expected what when I started the research expecting. With the name of Dog Boy. So they had, I started doing Arkansas kind of like I did with Alabama, where I started, you can see where I've got the list of another one with no research. Sure. I started pulling up and I was going to itemize out everything and then see what was like the most common and do research and stuff. But the Dog Boy article popped up the most and also had enough articles on it that it made sense to kind of do like you did with Skinwalker, like just do one really comprehensively.
Yeah.
Because with Alabama, I just couldn't get enough on any of those to make it one whole episode. But this one obviously was enough.
Yeah.
But yeah, not it, where it started and where it ended is not what I expected. No. I thought it was going to be more, I mean, it is kind of spooky, but he's called the Dog Boy because of his penchant for torturing animals, not because of a supernatural.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't the Kupalik of Alaska. Did I say that right?
No.
Oh. Yes, I did.
Kalupalik.
Oh, Kalupalik. Oops. So close. Yeah, so
after
far.
You complained about hearing it from me so many times.
Yeah, I know. When I was editing, I text Tammy, or text both of y'all, and I'm like, if I have to hear Tammy say Kalupalik one more time, I'm going to scream. Hopefully, by the time people are listening to this, they've already heard the Alaska episode, and that makes sense.
Kalupalik.
If not, go back and listen to it.
Kalupalik.
Okay, all right.
Mufasa.
Oh, wow.
Thanks for listening to Salt Over Your Shoulder,
a Redwater production.
We appreciate your support. Your download allowed our crazy idea to gain steam and make it into your podcast directories.
We couldn't do this without you. If you'd like to continue your support, you can engage with us on social media, on Twitter and Instagram at SaltThePod, or follow us on Facebook at SaltOverYourShoulder. You can also email us at saltoveryourshoulder@gmail.com.
Special thanks to the one and only Andrew York for our awesome graphic.
If you'd like to continue your support, please consider giving us a 5-star review on your favorite podcast directory. This helps other people find us as well.
You can also become one of our patrons at patreon.com/saltthepod.
See you next time!